Yahshua the Messiah pointed out many keys to Yahweh's kingdom. He stressed a certain kind of humility and a certain kind of love as being essential for entrance into Yahweh's kingdom. The humility is to be like a little child, and the love was to be like the love that Yahshua had for his disciples. So what is humility? Well, humility is the opposite of pride. Humility is not saying you are less than or worse than you are. That would just not be truthful. Humility is the opposite of being proud or presumptuous. A humble person certainly does not need to keep talking about how bad he is. He just does not boast or brag or keep talking about how good he is. Just pretending to be humble will not meet the requirement. It must be from the heart. The decision is up to Yahweh, and he will not be fooled. In Philippians 2:3, we read, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Now, there's some unfamiliar words there. Strife is angry or bitter disagreement. Vainglory, you rarely hear that today. It's excessive pride in oneself or in one's achievements or excessive vanity. And that's not bad anymore. That's probably considered good, at least in some circles. Esteem is a judgment that happens in our own minds about the value of ourselves or another person. Let each esteem others better than themselves. So we think about others and we think, well, he's better than I am. That's proper humility. We should not base our actions on strife or vainglory. Part of being humble is certainly being submissive to the will of our Father Yahweh. And what does Yahweh say? We can read about it in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. We don't even think the same way that Yahweh thinks, and his thoughts are much higher than ours. Humility is definitely in order as we compare ourselves with Yahweh. Who is high and mighty? And what do the rest of us need to do about that? Well, we can look at Isaiah 57, verse 15. Isaiah 57, 15. For so says the high and lofty one who dwells in eternity. What a place to live, huh? Eternity. Whose name is Kodesh, or holy. I dwell in the high and Kodesh place with him who has a bruised and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the bruised ones. Humility is truly basic to our future as Yahweh's children. By basic, we mean that it is essential, like the foundation of a building, and also that it must be seen as a part of our core being. Humility has to be as much a part of our nature as our belief in Yahshua, our hope for the kingdom, and our love for the brethren, part of our being. It has to be firmly embedded deep in the heart and mind, parts of our nature. Joshua gave some very strong examples and teachings on humility. The first one we'll look at is actually the key scripture for this message, in Matthew 18, the first four verses. Matthew 18, beginning at verse 1. The disciples came to Joshua saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of Yahweh, the kingdom of heaven?" And Joshua called a little child to him and set him in their midst and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become," and King James Version, "are changed as little children, you shall by no means, never, ever enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, I suppose the disciples were kind of disappointed about that. They were looking for a way to become the top dog. But that's not what it's about. This isn't about, well, we'll get to some other scriptures that'll make that clearer later. We're not intended to make it into the kingdom on our natural humility that we were born with, or that we may have had as a little child. We are supposed to be working on changing, working on changing from the proud nature that we have taken on as we grew up to the humble attitude of a little child that Yahshua tells us we must have. In Colossians 3, verse 12 to 14, Colossians 3, 12 to 14, we read, "Therefore, as the elect of Yahweh, Kodesh, and beloved, clothe yourselves with inner feelings of compassion, kindness, humility of mind, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other if anyone has a complaint against another. Indeed, as the Messiah forgave you, so also you should forgive others. But above all these, put on love, which is a bond of the perfection." So the love can bind us together. It's a wonderful binding agent to keep the congregation together in peace. Paul presents a picture of a believer dressing in these essential garments as he or she talks with the Father to begin each day. Yahweh will hear and support those who seek humility. This is an ongoing project for each believer. Actually, the better you get, the more you have to keep humility at the front of your mind. Do you see why that is true? If I do a good job today, somebody may come up and say, "Well, Elder Tom, you did a good job today. You did a good sermon. I'll remember that and appreciate it." And my answer is, "Well, thank you. I guess I did do a good job, didn't I?" No. My answer is, praise Yahweh. Because it's only through Yahweh that I can do this at all. Okay. Habakkuk 2:4 is quoted in the New Testament four times because it links salvation to belief. Habakkuk 2:4. See, he whose being is not upright in him is puffed up. So someone who doesn't have the right attitude within his heart has got pride. He's puffed up. But the righteous one lives by his steadfastness. The King James says the righteous lives by faith. And that's probably a good word for steadfastness. Notice the first part of the verse. The prophet is contrasting pride or being puffed up to steadfastness or belief. But also he's contrasting pride to life, which is salvation. Yahshua did exactly that in Matthew 18, which we just read. Okay. Along with love for one another, the humility of a little child is an important foundation principle of our belief, the system of all the things that we believe. Humility and love are keys to this. A vivid and startling truth is that each of us must have an ongoing project to change our personality, to make it like the personality of a little child. Just like the top goes down on a convertible, we have to let our pride and any arrogance go down, and we have to change ourselves and, with Yahweh's help, be converted, that means changed, converted into humble individuals. Are you a convertible believer? I hope I am. Question: how humble do we need to become? And the answer is like a sweet, obedient, loving little child. And those are beings that it's a delight to be with, isn't it? Aren't they? That baby step is a giant step for most of us believers, probably even more so for men. So what does that mean? We know that men are more subject to being prideful or arrogant, and that gives women an advantage in this area. So men, we have to work harder on this. Be specially mindful of our humility. When we look back on how humble we were a month ago or a year ago, we should be seeing improvement in our humility. Okay. What makes humility of special interest to each one of us is that Yahshua said that if we do not have it, we will never enter Yahweh's kingdom. And that's our hope. That is our hope, to be with Yahweh and the Father Yahshua and the Father forever. Is that important to you? This seems unexpected and even amazing, because each child of Yahweh is intended to become a king and a priest in the kingdom. What a requirement to impose for leaders, that they must be humble like little children. But that is what the scripture says. We've looked at Matthew 18, 1-4, where Yahshua brought an example of a little child to the disciples. His teaching was, unless you are converted or changed and become, that indicates a change from what we were to what we want to be, and become as little children, you shall never, not ever, enter into the kingdom. I'm reminded of a Quaker hymn that I like for several reasons, but one of them is that it explains about humility a little bit. 'Tis a gift to be simple, 'tis a gift to be free, 'tis a gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we come to be in the place just right, we'll be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we will not be ashamed. To turn, will be our delight, till by turning, turning, we come round right. Yahshua taught another lesson at Passover time. It's in John 13, beginning at verse 12. John 13, 12 to 15. After he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined again, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you?" The King James says, "Do you know what I've done to you?" Well, anybody who's gotten their feet washed is going to know they got their feet washed. But he said, do you understand it? "You call me teacher and master, and you say, well, for I am. If I then, the master and the teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Now that's a very clear teaching about our humility in the congregation. And make no mistake, this goes much further than foot washing once a year. It must become a part of a believer's loving, humble attitude of service every day. Goes much farther than foot washing once a year. That's important, and we need to do it. But it has to become a part of our personality of humility. Do I often talk about myself? Do I talk but not listen? A humble person is more quiet. He speaks less than his share of the time. So if there are five people in the room, he speaks less than one-fifth of the time. When he asks a question, he allows the person time to answer it fully. I was in a baptism counseling meeting one time, where an elder asked the candidate a question and then proceeded to interrupt them before they could think of their answer and preach the little sermon he wanted to give before the person even had an opportunity to answer. Okay. So we need to be more of a listener and less of a talker. That's the kind of person this humble person is. More of a listener, less of a talker. A humble person does not criticize other people. He bears in mind that he is not perfect, just as the person he wants to criticize may not be. "I would never," will not often come from his mouth. He might say, I hope I wouldn't do that. But let's leave off criticizing others. I try to bring out the positive in what I write and say, and let the negatives, let somebody else worry about the negatives. A sure way to tell if you still have work to do in this area, is to notice if you often interrupt others in conversation. Interrupting is an expression of your belief that you, what you have to say is much more important than whatever that other person was saying or going to say. It goes even deeper than that. It shows that you think you are much more, much better and more important than that other person. And, you know, what I say has got to be better than whatever that person would come up with. So let me just tell you about that. If we can learn true love and humility, we will love the other person enough to value whatever they feel is important. And we will know the value of listening to them in order to understand them and to show our respect and love for them. May Yahweh help us. We certainly need help in this area. I should say I need help. Your mind may now be wandering into thinking of why this does not apply to you or to your situation. Now that would be pride and a lack of respect. I know. I've done that. If I get to feeling pretty good about myself, I just need to remember this. It's in Proverbs 26, verse 12. Proverbs 26, 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. There's more hope for a fool than for someone who thinks he's not a fool. Interesting. Now, humility has a long history, and it's been a key to many epic historical life-changing events, some positive and some negative. Three examples come from the time of the Exodus from Egypt. Humility was a major factor in the destruction of the great Egyptian culture and society at that first Passover in Egypt. Here, we're talking about the humility that Pharaoh refused to show before Yahweh. Exodus 10, verse 3. And Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh and said to him, "So says Yahweh, the Elohim of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so that they may serve me." Yahweh still likes to see his people come out and serve him. While the lack of humility in Pharaoh brought about the destruction of Egypt, the great humility of Moses was an important factor in his success as a leader, a prophet, and a servant of Yahweh. Numbers 12:3. This is taken out of context a little bit, but it's true. Numbers 12:3. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all men on the face of the earth. And that's in parentheses, just to show that it's a out of context remark, but it did apply in that situation. Yahshua, that's Numbers 12:3. Yahshua was the prophet like Moses. We read that in Deuteronomy 18:18, where the prophecy is of a prophet like you, Moses, going to be sent in the future. This is one of the ways in which they were alike, their humility. Moses was able to follow Yahweh in everything because he didn't usually think he knew it all or that his way was better. He just wanted to do whatever Yahweh desired, and he loved and wanted to help the chosen people. He was able to encourage the Israelites because he loved them and understood that he was one of them. Lack of humility caused the children of Israel to spend an extra 40 years in the wilderness. That is a lesson for all of us to remember. At the end of their 40 years, Moses told them this. It's in Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. You shall remember all the way which Yahweh your Elohim led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you. So that was the same message Yahshua taught. You got to be humbled. You got to be converted. Let the top go down. What Yahweh was looking for in Israel was courage, faith, and fearlessness. Courage, faith, fearlessness. Not what we may usually think of as humility, but they just did not have it. Would 40 years of wandering around on a diet of manna help with your humility? Would the gift of food in a desert every day for 40 years be a good example of love for us to follow? Let's look at Yahshua's humility teachings. We looked already at John 13, verse 12 to 15, about the washing of the disciples' feet. And we've looked at Matthew 18, 1 to 4, about the humility of a little child. In addition, let's look at Matthew 20, verses 25 to 28. Matthew 20, 25. Yahshua called the disciples near and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles are masters over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you, let him be as the servant of all. And whoever wishes to be first among you, let him be the slave of you all. Even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And he says the same thing that's quoted in Mark 10, 42. And then there's Yahshua's example of humility. And that has been recorded for our instruction. While he did often change the subject in conversations, that was a tactic Yahshua would use. Someone would come and ask him a question, and he'd say, "Well, yes, but think about," and then he'd talk about what he wanted to impart to the person to help them. But Yahshua did listen to people. He also understood them very well even before they spoke, which is why he could do that other thing. Torah commands us to lovingly correct our brother when we see that he is sinning. And that's in Leviticus 19, verse 17. Leviticus 19, 17. That's a key scripture that we should all know. "Do not hate your brother in your heart. Reprove your neighbor for certain, and do not allow sin upon him." I always get the picture of my granddaughter, my little granddaughter, and there's a wasp sitting on her collar of her dress. And I know that if that wasp becomes agitated and stings her, it's going to be painful. It's going to be a bad thing for her. So I want to be sure to get that wasp off of her as soon as I can, and in a way that it will just fly away, and that'll be the end of it. So that's the way we have to do with our neighbor, our brother. Have to get the sin off of them. Yahshua obeyed this command. And that's difficult to do, to go to someone and say, You know, brother, I've noticed there's a sin in your life. I noticed you're doing something bad, and you do it almost every day. Let me tell you about it. Well, there we are. But Yahshua had love and humility, which gave him a way of bringing sin to someone's attention without being too direct so as to hurt the person or cause them to reject the message, which would have been a bad thing. We can learn to do this too if we have humility and love. Watch for this as you read the evangels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Strive to imitate the Messiah in helping sinners. Who are sinners? People. Here's one. Yahshua's humility is very clear in the garden prayer when he says, "Not my will, but yours be done." That's in Luke 22:42. Yahshua also showed his submission to the Father by telling people, "I have been sent," rather than standing on his own authority. He wanted to be known as the Father's agent. In John 5, verse 30, we read, he was talking to some Jews of the time. "I can do nothing of myself." This is John 5:30. "As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me." And in John 6:38, he says, "For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all which he has given me, of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him should have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Hallelujah. Did he think others were better than him? In one sense, he did not. A humble person does not lie by saying that he's not good. Yahshua certainly understood that he was a very powerful person through the power from the Father. And he surely understood that he had wisdom and real brilliance through the Kodesh spirit of the Father within him. Knowing that about Yahshua humbles me. But Yahshua did esteem you to be more valuable than his own life. He was very willing to painfully sacrifice his life so that you can live with Yahweh in his family forever. Humility for believers. We are to be humble as a little child. The child Yahshua is talking about is an ideal child, well taught to be quiet and obedient, helpful, friendly and open, and loving. A baby is naturally humble, but we adults must decide to become humble. Coming to it by decision will assure that our heart is really in the project. I have decided to be humble in my heart. I will automatically express my humility. So coming to that by decision will assure that our heart is really in the project. Each of us must consider the question and decide if we want to become more humble, like Moses and Yahshua, our example. We must follow Yahshua in his example of humility and act on his teachings about it. I wish someone had told me the great value of humility for a person who embraces it. They probably tried, but I probably wasn't ready to accept it. In humility, Yahweh has given us a powerful key to success and effectiveness in business, personal relations, and relationships with Yahweh. Our relationship with Yahweh is the most important relationship we need to have. And it's also, humility is also important in our relationships in our congregation, both as members and as leaders. These are several really good reasons for each of us to work on overcoming pride and learning to be that humble. This message started life as essential humility, and then it was shown to me that love and humility are very closely linked. Humility is lifted to a higher level when love is added. And love can certainly not meet all its potential without being joined with humility. So humility and love work together. The concept of a higher level of humility may seem like an oxymoron, but I hope you will understand. Meeting these two requirements is not only essential for salvation, but it is also essential for success as a servant of any kind, especially in your family or in your congregation. And what is love? Well, a good definition of love is found in 1 Corinthians 13. We call that the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is patient, kind, generous, humble. So if you want to have love, you've got to have humility. Well-mannered, unselfish, slow to anger, ignores evil, loves truth, forgiving, faithful, hopeful, and enduring. You don't have to remember. It's all there in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is not a feeling, but is a never-ending series of loving acts, things we do. We see Yahshua's love in John 13. We already read some of that. Now we'll read more that we haven't read, some that we have read already, and more in addition to that. We'll begin at verse 1 of John 13. And before the festival of the Passover, Yahshua, knowing that his hour had come, that he should move out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. There was no point where Yahshua said, well, I've suffered enough. I'm just going to turn around and do what needs to be done to end this. He did what he needed to do for you and I. Verse 2. Verse 1 took a long time, didn't it? And supper taking place, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judah from Kerioth, otherwise known as Judas Iscariot, son of Shimon, to deliver him up, Yahshua, knowing that the Father had given all into his hands, and that he had come from the Father and was going to Elohim, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, and having taken the towel, he girded himself, and after that he put water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the taught ones and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And so he came to Shimon Kefa, and he said to him, Master, do you wash my feet? Yahshua answered and said to him, You do not know or understand what I am doing now, but you shall know after this. Kefa said to him, By no means shall you ever wash my feet. Yahshua answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Shimon Kefa said to him, Master, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Yahshua said to him, He who has bathed does not need to wash except his feet, but is clean altogether. And you are clean, but not all of you. You call me teacher. I'm sorry. Okay. Verse 11. For he knew who would deliver him up, so he said, You are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, Do you know or understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and master, and you say, Well, for I am. If then I, master and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is an emissary greater than he who sent him. If you know these teachings, blessed are you if you do them. And then we'll skip down to verse 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. After Yahshua washed their feet, he gave them this, John 13:34. A new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, everyone shall know that you are my disciples, if you have this love for one another. Now, the love Yahshua commanded is expressed through humble service for others. That love feeds thousands of hungry people and heals their sickness and teaches them the way to a successful life. And then he freely gives the credit to Abba Yahweh, the Father. Yahshua began his teaching with humility and completed it with love. The teaching is one. The humility and love form a unit together. Yahshua gave us many things to do, but this is the only time we see recorded that he called something he said to be a commandment. A little later that night, he showed how important that command was. It's in John 15, verse 12. John 15:12, actually going down to 14, I guess. John 15:12. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that one should lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. He's saying that if we do obey this command, then we will be his friends and his life will be laid down for us. This shows that love is a salvation issue. You want Yahshua's sacrifice to be applied to you? I do. Yahweh needs to have individuals in his kingdom who are very loving for that kingdom to be sustainable forever. Joshua waited until his last night before his execution to give the new command about love in that way, that they had the full example of all Joshua's time with them. When he said, "Love the way I have loved you," they were able to understand more exactly what he meant. His command to love was also emphasized by the humility he had showed in washing their feet just before. We know 1 Corinthians 13 as the love chapter, and Hebrews 11 as the belief or faith chapter. Now I think we should accept John 13 as the humility and love chapter. We can gain understanding of Yahshua's example by reading the accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I encourage everyone to spend some time learning about Yahshua from these books, at least once a week. Observe how his humility is a large part of perfect love. Only the path of humility, love, and righteousness that Yahshua followed leads to where Yahshua is now by the Father's side. Only the path of humility, love, and obedient righteousness that Yahshua followed leads to where he is now with Yahshua, Abba Father, Yahweh. Humility, together with loving one another, is very important and even essential for us as individuals and as a congregation. With humility and love combined, we work together as a very powerful force, promoting Yahweh's kingdom both today as we witness to the world and in moving more quickly and effectively toward the kingdom when Yahshua will rule the world. If you sincerely ask him, then he will surely help you to do his will. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the scripture has gained a lot of popularity recently in my experience. 2 Chronicles 7:14, Yahweh says, "If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Love is a part of humility. A person needs to use love in order to be truly humble. True humility is patient and kind, not easily angered, and puts others before itself. That means it is courteous, helpful, supportive, loyal, and kind. The love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, identifies all these signs of humility as characteristics of love. We not only need to have an ongoing project to become as humble as a baby, but we need to have a life goal to be as loving as the Messiah was when he was here. These two goals are strongly related, even though they can be viewed as distinct from each other, love and humility. Without the binding link between them, neither humility nor love will be expressed as Yahshua demands. If we find that our humility is not perfect, we can work on our love to solve that problem. The reverse is also true. Love that needs to be expressed better may be improved by greater humility. When the apostle says perfect love casts out fear, he may be saying that perfect love is rich in humility. Both humility and love are elements of relationships. A good, close relationship depends on both love and humility. If I have a relationship that's in trouble, I need to determine which of these two is too weak and correct that problem in myself with Yahshua's help. If the other person is not perfect, then my love can cover a multitude of their sin. So love and humility are powerful keys to avoiding and solving problems. A good way to appreciate this is to think about love and humility coming together in true respect. This is very much a salvation issue, and we need to remember, review, and use it to help us reach Yahweh's wonderful kingdom. Yahweh is calling us to be in his kingdom, and he really wants us to be there. He will help us to resolve any problems that may be keeping us from being there. We do need to do our part. In Luke 12:32, we read an important scripture for our encouragement. Luke 12:32, Yahshua said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Abba Yahweh loves to see us walking in the way that will lead us to his kingdom and family. Ask Yahweh to help you to be converted into humble and loving child that he wants you to be. A few hints to help us get into the habit of humility. Believe I could be wrong. Say, for instance, "This is what I thought, but I'm not so sure. What do you think?" And then listen. May Yahweh bless you with a deep understanding of this essential topic and grant you a heart of love and a purposeful dedication to developing a spirit of humble service. Hallelujah.